Let us join together in a word of prayer as we ask the Lord to illumine our hearts in preparation to hear the scripture. Mighty God, you spoke to your people in the pillar of cloud as they walked together in the wilderness. Speak to us through your word today, that we may hear you calling us out of the wilderness places in our lives and into new places you have promised to show us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, today's Old Testament reading is the 13th chapter in the book of Exodus, and it speaks of a pillar of fire that led the Israelites toward the promised land, one of many passages that tell of God's use of light to speak to God's people living in darkness. And then in our gospel reading, unique to the Gospel of John, are seven statements. Jesus begins by saying, "I am." During each Sunday of this Lenten season, we will read scripture from John's gospel that identify these seven I am statements. And as Jenny just referred to, as we work through this Lenten season to learn more about the one who died for us, these I am statements are ways in which we can learn who Jesus was and is. So today we begin with Jesus' statement, "I am the light of the world," and that is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 12 to 16. So let us listen for the word of God in both scripture readings, as we begin with Exodus 13, verses 17 to 22. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God thought, "If the people face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt." So God led the people by the roundabout way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of the land of Egypt prepared for battle. And Moses took with him the bones of Joseph, who had required a solemn oath of the Israelites, saying, "God will surely take notice of you. And then you must carry my bones with you from here." They set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light so that they might travel by day and by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. And from the Gospel of John in chapter 8. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Then the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid because I know where I have come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me." The words of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Early in the book of Exodus, Moses writes of an unusual encounter he has with God, who speaks to Moses from a burning bush. God introduces himself to Moses then with the expression, "I am who I am." This statement became a way to connect with God personally and was used throughout Israel's history to convey that God always was, always is, and always will be. And in our gospel text today, Jesus utilizes the same I am statement and adds a description. He describes himself as the light of the world, and essentially claims to be the Messiah God's people have been waiting for. Jesus' nod to light and darkness isn't new to God's people. The image of light and darkness has been used since the beginning of creation. The Genesis account of creation begins with God forming the light and the darkness, calling one day and one night. In the Psalms, we read of the psalmist who wrote, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Job says, "By his light I walk through darkness." And in the first few lines of the Gospel of John, he writes, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Light and darkness have been words used to describe the condition of a person's soul. We think of light as that which is good, and darkness is compared to sinfulness and evilness. Hearing Jesus proclaim himself the light of the world makes total sense to us because we know of God, of his divinity. But to the Pharisees and scribes present at that moment, it is a shocking statement. They can't believe that this man, Jesus, would elevate himself to the standards of a Messiah, essentially claiming he is Israel's God. And so they are angry that Jesus would claim to be the true light of God and then have the audacity to lay judgment on God's people, especially in a manner different from their own style of judgment. When the Pharisees and scribes apply justice, they do it with the law. But Jesus always chooses love and grace. At the beginning of this chapter, an adulterous woman is brought to the temple by the religious leaders, and they turn to Jesus and they insist that he declare how this sinful woman should be punished. Their purpose is not to learn from Jesus. In fact, it is to put Jesus in a very complicated situation where he either encourages the crowd to ignore the law of Moses and not stone this adulterous woman, or he announces that she should be stoned, which goes against all he has taught about love and mercy, and suggests that he has any authority to announce her punishment. Well, with infinite wisdom, Jesus invites anyone without sin to cast the first stone at the woman. And one by one, the crowd disperses, and Jesus is left alone with the accused woman. Jesus stands and looks at her and says, "I am not going to pass judgment on you either. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Well, imagine how upset the religious leaders are at this point. They have been outwitted by this traveling religious leader and, well, made to look pretty foolish in front of the crowd. Look at the way in which the religious leaders treated this adulterous woman. They did not see this woman as a person, but as an instrument to trick Jesus. They were using her for their own purposes. And she simply was a pawn in their game to destroy Jesus. But then we see the way in which Jesus treats the accused woman. He addresses her directly with respect, because to Jesus, no person ever becomes a thing. It's always his purpose to yield authority through love that moves us into goodness. Where the scribes and the Pharisees condemn, Jesus forgives. Jesus is the gospel of second chances. He is the one in whom we find hope, hope that we have unlimited opportunities to embrace practices that lead us to a peace-filled life. Jesus was intensely interested in not only what a person had been, but also what a person could be. Jesus did not say that what they had done did not matter, because broken laws and broken hearts always matter. but he was sure that everyone has a future as well as a past. And so Jesus gives this adulterous woman a second chance to choose a life filled with truth. And he gives her a choice to walk away from the darkness that consumed her life of adulterous relationships. And just because we may watch Jesus forgive easily doesn't mean that Jesus forgave lightly, as if sin doesn't matter. What he says to the woman is this: I am not going to condemn you just now. Go and sin no more. And in effect, what Jesus was doing was not to abandon judgment and say, oh, don't worry, it's quite all right what you've been doing. No, Jesus is saying, I am not going to pass a final judgment now. So go and prove that you can do better. You have sinned, but go and sin no more, and I will help you all the time. He issues a challenge to the sinner, which points the sinner to heights of goodness, all in an effort to move that person towards God's light and away from darkness. Jesus' claim that he is the light of the world should make us assured that God is in full control and has the ability to transform the lives of God's people. We are not perfect, and so we are unable to see the complexity of someone's sin through our own eyes. So often, we look at others from a human standard, but Jesus shines God's light into the heart and mind of humanity to reveal the true story of their moment in darkness. Jesus promises that those who follow him will walk in his light and out of the darkness. Now, I don't think that this means that we do not hold one another accountable for our sinfulness. I think being part of a Christian community is to walk with one another in the light and sometimes in the darkness. And so it should be our intention to help our brothers and sisters in Christ to move from that darkness they may be in into the light of Jesus Christ. And so this means we may be called by the Holy Spirit to speak boldly to one another, to have some of those uncomfortable conversations, but this bold speak that we engage in is always framed around the desire to speak the truth in love. And so we challenge one another with a purpose to encourage each other, to focus on honoring our relationship with our God, our Father. This challenge we extend to others. And this challenge is framed in hope, because light brings us hope. A hope that reminds us that with light, we will see the way to Jesus Christ as we walk out of the darkness. Desmond Tutu once said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. And the only way we see this light is when we focus our lives on Jesus Christ. Too many things in our life point us to darkness and to hopelessness, to a fear that we are too broken to deserve God's graciousness and love. And if our minds aren't darkened by our own failure, well, soon enough, it will be someone else who throws us into a dark pit of despair with their judgment cast upon us. In her podcast, Love Your Story, I listened to Lori Lee as she said these words. She says, one of the spaces that creates hopelessness is that space of feeling as if we have failed, are failing, or are destined to keep screwing things up. This heavy space is like a drain that sucks the light right out of our souls. So let me share an idea that I heard in church the other day. When a parent pays for a child to take piano lessons so that they can learn a new skill, develop a talent, or understand music, they do not expect the child will sit down and instantly become a concert pianist. No, they hope the child will respond to the gift and keep practicing year after year until the skill is acquired. And so it is with God. We have been given opportunities in our lives to learn many, many things. We often learn these things through some trial and error. But God doesn't expect us to be an expert at them right from the beginning. And so we will practice love. We will practice disciplining our minds and bodies. We will practice and practice and practice patience. We will practice overcoming judgment. We will practice sharing and playing nice with one another. We will practice loving ourselves. We will practice healthy boundaries. We will practice living big. We will practice communicating well. Every day, we will have opportunities to practice with every interaction and experience before us. We always get to keep trying. And so it's important to remember that there is never a fall or a fail, a wrong note where we should stay down. It's common that when we feel we have failed at something, a marriage, self-control, an expectation, something new we tried, that dark mist of shame and hopelessness, discouragement and futility can easily start to build and swirl at our feet. That is the common human experience. And my belief is that it is the adversary looking for every crack in our armor, an attempt to drain us of hope and increase the darkness that we live in. And whether or not you believe in an adversary, a force of darkness that competes with the light, it is the human experience to feel both darkness and light and to choose which we will gravitate towards. We are never unworthy or unwanted. We are simply practicing. Hopelessness would have you throw the music down and stomp off when you hit the wrong notes. Hope comes from the understanding that we are definitely going to hit wrong notes, and a lot of them. And that's okay. It's expected. But we are blessed to try again. Because each one of us is a sacred being. We are beautiful and beloved and full of potential and talent. Even if we aren't fully aware of all the power and beauty we hold, we most certainly are vibrant and sacred. Every one of us. I don't think I could have said it any better than Lori Lees did. Jesus offers us no easy forgiveness, but offers a challenge to all of us sinners. He points us to heights of goodness of which we have never, ever dreamed of. Jesus confronts the bad life with a challenge of the good. And it is his method not to condemn men and women with the knowledge that they are miserable sinners. Because, come on, we already know that, don't we? We tell ourselves that often. No, Jesus wants to inspire us with the unglimpsed discovery that we are potential saints. We are on a Lenten journey that draws us closer and closer to the cross of Jesus Christ. And it is upon this cross in which we are redeemed despite our sinful nature. And as we recognize the tremendous gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that our privilege is to share the gift of salvation with those all around us. It's not enough to know that Jesus is the light of the world. We need to make sure everyone knows this too. Because you know what? Hopelessness is the plague of our day. As suicide rates soar, depression and anxiety become the norm, and drug addiction increases, we see manifest among us all the results of hopelessness in the most severe ways. It becomes a space of darkness that takes over the minds and hearts of our society. And it might ebb and flow, but when it's in the flow, we desperately need the light. Something, a candle, a flickering flame before us that we can see just far ahead of us to keep moving forward instead of giving up. Well, it's true, a candle can give that kind of light, but at some point its flame can be taken away. The only consistent form of light that always shines is the light of Jesus Christ, the true light that shines in the darkness. So let us follow this light as we journey together towards the cross. Alleluia. Amen. And now I invite you to stand and join with me in our song of praise, Shine, Jesus, Shine.